So, recently, Shelby and I were reading ahead from where we are in class, and we were reading in Luke 24, and as we were reading, Shelby pointed out something that I'd never noticed. So let's read the first 12 verses of Luke 24. Luke 24, verses 1 through 12. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they, and certain other women with them, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told all these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves. And he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Did anything jump out at you? Nothing jumped out at me at first, because, I mean, I'm used to the story. So sometimes it seems like there's nothing new reading it over and over again, but that's not true. Let's look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." When Shelby read this, she stopped and said, "That is interesting, because Peter is the one who denied Jesus." I never made that connection. Peter is the one who denied Jesus. And thankful that she made that connection. So we talked about why Peter would be the one to run to the tomb. And while discussing, I realized that there is an important lesson for us in what Peter did. But before I get to that point, the punch of my lesson, I want to read a few more passages and kind of expand on what happened. Now, Luke is not the only writer who gives an account of Peter running to Jesus' tomb. Matthew and Mark don't talk about this, but John does, and he expands on what happened. So let's go to John chapter 20. John 20, 1 through 10. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go into the tomb. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. So John tells us that Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved ran to the tomb. This other disciple is John. At the end of John in chapter 21, verse 24, he identifies himself as the disciple who Jesus loves. So John and Peter were the two that ran to Jesus' tomb. The first of the two male disciples, of the two apostles, who saw and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. And there is no other account of any of the other nine disciples running to the tomb, although Jesus did appear to them later on and ate with them. So what is the significance of John and Peter running to the tomb? Well, we know that Peter denied Jesus three times publicly within the sight of Jesus before he was crucified. We also know that it was Peter who boldly said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." We know that Peter is the one who cut off the servant's ear in Gethsemane. John 18, verse 26 says, "One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, did I not see you in the garden with Jesus?" And then Peter denied knowing Jesus. So what do we know about John? Well, we know that John, along with his brother James and also Peter, were the three closest disciples to Christ. They're with him in the garden. They're with him when he was arrested. And John 18, verse 15, tells us that John went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest where Jesus was questioned and beaten. So John witnessed that. Let's also go to John 19. John 19, verses 25 to 27. "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple whom he loved, John, standing by, he said to his mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' And then he said to the disciple, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour that disciple took her into his own home." So John was present during Jesus' death, during his crucifixion. That means he witnessed his agony, the disrespect, and also the self-control that Jesus exhibited. So again, what is its significance? Why is it important that Peter, who denied Jesus, and John, who witnessed Jesus' death, ran to the tomb? Well, it is important because of what motivated them to run to the tomb. Now, this is partly speculation, assuming, based on at least my experiences of what would have motivated me. But it has important implications for us. We can assume that a big motivator for Peter was guilt. Peter felt guilt after he publicly denied Jesus. Luke 22 and verse 62 says that Peter went and wept bitterly. He felt terrible about himself. There he was, a few hours earlier, saying that he was ready to die alongside Christ. He was ready to confess Christ before all of mankind and pay whatever punishment for his loyalty to God. He thought he was ready. In the garden, he cut off the ear of one of the servants who were arresting Jesus. He took action and did something that was a crime that would have gotten him in trouble. And we are told that when he was confronted publicly about his loyalty and his allegiance to Christ, he denied Jesus. He lied publicly. And not only that, but it seems like he did it with Jesus watching. Luke 22 and verse 61 says that Jesus turned and looked at Peter when the rooster crowed. Just think about how much guilt you would feel. This was Christ's lowest moment, the moment where it counted who stood with him, and no one stood with him. So think about the person you are closest to on this earth. What if you swore to that person that you would be with them no matter what, even if it meant dying by their side? What if that person was taken from you and sentenced to death for something that they didn't do? What if you were confronted and asked if you knew this person? If this person was your friend, and what if you lied because you were afraid? And they heard you and looked at you. I cannot imagine how guilty I would feel. Peter promised this to Christ, the most gentle and loving, wise, and innocent person in history. He promises to Christ. Peter turned his back on God. I think wept bitterly is an understatement. But then Peter ran to Christ's tomb when he found out that Christ might be alive. He ran to the person he sinned against. He felt that terrible guilt, but responded by running to God. Why? Because Peter wanted that relationship back. He wanted it restored. He wanted Christ to forgive him. I think most of all, he wanted to ensure that Christ still loved and accepted him. He wanted Christ to know that he still loved him. John 21, verses 15 through 19, tells us that Peter got that opportunity. I'm not going to read it, but you can turn to it. Peter got that opportunity when Christ asked him three times if he loves him. And Peter said yes, three times. He got that chance to restore that relationship. So what about John? What motivated John to run to Jesus' tomb and actually get there before Peter? I don't know if that's significant. He could have just been faster than John and then Peter. But so Matthew 26, verse 35. Peter said to Christ, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. It wasn't just Peter that said that. John also said it. All the disciples said it. Now, John didn't publicly deny Jesus Christ three times. But let's remember that John was the only disciple present for his beating, his mocking, and his trial. Only disciple. He was the only disciple present during Christ's death. We know that Peter had the opportunity to fulfill his promise, being confronted three times. What about John? How many opportunities did he have to join Jesus in death, to fulfill his promise? He didn't deny Christ, but would that not make you feel guilty, even if it's misplaced, even if it's not right to feel guilty about it? I know that I would still feel guilty. I'd feel like I had betrayed Jesus because I didn't join him. I didn't do anything. I just stood there. I didn't do anything to fight the charges, to stop the guards, to stand in Jesus' place, to stop the crucifixion. Again, imagine you watch your closest friend mocked, beat, tortured, whipped, be nailed to wood, and be mocked while they died. And what'd you do? You try to fight? You try to resist? Did you try to free your friend? No. You stood and watched. I cannot imagine myself not feeling guilty, even if it's wrong, misplaced guilt. So perhaps he felt guilty for doing nothing to stop Christ's death. Perhaps it was because John loved Jesus and just wanted that relationship back. Nonetheless, we have an example of what to do with our guilt. Peter ran to God because of his guilt. He ran to the person who had the absolute right to be angry with him and to hate him. Absolute right. He ran to God because he knew that God would forgive him and that God so loved him. Now, Shelby and I talked about this, and as I thought more about it, I remembered another example of running in the Bible. Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. I'm not going to read it. But it tells us the story of the lost son. A son that left his father, sinned against him, and disgraced him. Then he decided to return home because he remembered his father's love and desire to restore that relationship. And what did his father do? Verse 20 of Luke 15. And the son arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. God also runs to us. When we have sinned against him and we recognize our mistake and return to him, he runs to us. He doesn't want to be separated from us. It is as if God cannot wait for us to be with him again. He couldn't help himself, he ran. This should be our response to God as well. Peter provides us an amazing example of what repentance should look like. When he recognized the sin he committed, he didn't avoid dealing with it. He didn't wallow in it. Judas responded this way. Judas knew his betrayal was wrong, but didn't turn back to God. Instead, he ran away from the solution and killed himself. Peter ran to the one that he sinned against. He faced his guilt. He faced the disappointment of Christ. He faced the possibility of Christ rejecting him, because that was a possibility. It is well within God's power and right not to forgive us, to reject us just as we constantly reject him. That's justice. Peter faced that possibility. That takes courage. But Peter took the chance because he knew Christ. He knew that Christ wouldn't reject him. He knew that Christ would forgive him. He knew that Christ would still love him. That's beautiful. That's the assurance that God gives us. We are absolutely assured. We can be 100% confident that if we turn back to God, run to him, we will be forgiven. That's exciting. That is hope. No wonder Peter ran to Christ. He was excited. He couldn't wait for the opportunity to get back what he had with Christ. Just like God runs to us because he loves us, Peter and John ran to Christ because they loved him. Do we have that love for God? Do we love God enough to face our guilt? Do we love God enough to face the consequences for our actions? Do I love God enough to run to the one I have hurt so much, time and time again, with the chance of him rejecting me? Would I run to him because all of that does not matter? Because the smallest possibility that he would forgive me is so much more important than the rejection, than the punishment. Do I want that relationship that much? What would I do for that relationship? What did Christ do for that relationship with me? He looked at my pitiful excuse for goodness. He looked at my list of sins against him, and he said, I will pay for them and give you my goodness. He said that he would take on the guilt and the punishment. He said that he would die for me, and he did. What did Christ do for a relationship with me? He did everything. What are you willing to do? Are you willing to face your sin, to face your guilt, and take it to God? Do you love God enough and desire a relationship with him so much that you'll run to him? And in fact, this is an example of what we should do with problems with our relationships with other people too. face the guilt, face the rejection, because the relationship matters so much more. And God makes it easy for us because He promised us that He will forgive us. And there's no chance with God. If we do what we need to do, there is no chance with God. He holds us up. He holds up His end of the deal. He gives us hope to run to Him. Let this be our response to sin in our lives, to sin against each other. Instead of avoiding it, run to the one you sinned against, and the only one who can cleanse you. That is the invitation that Christ gives us, that God gives us, the hope that He gives us, the ability to run to the only one who can cleanse us. So if you want to take that opportunity, please do so.